Good morning to you, Des.
Good morning, Mark.
Yes, it is. Look, it is the interview that you wish would not be conducted, to speak to the head of our Jockeys Association in Australia. But we are very much at one. There's a great kinship between Australian and New Zealand racing, of course. The ditch between us is often travelled with horses and jockeys and trainers, and there's such a great flow between the two countries. It almost, we are as one. And to hear the passing of one of their prominent, most highly regarded lady jockeys in Rebecca Black just casts a pall of sadness over not only New Zealand racing, but Australian as well.
It does, Mark, and you're right. There's a really strong bond between riders in Australia, and that definitely extends to New Zealand, but also internationally at times like this. It's a pretty really strong family bond, and the reason for that is, of course, every one of them does the same job every time they go out, and they're putting their trust in their mount, they're putting their trust in their fellow riders, and they're putting their trust in the track and facilities, and they're also, you know, putting their trust in fate, really. And tragically, on Sunday, you know, Rebecca got dealt the worst possible hand, and the ramifications are really long and loud around New Zealand and around Australia as well.
The Tapanui Racing Club race at Gore on the South Island, and it was at that meeting, as you said, that during the eighth race, where Rebecca Black's mount Point Proven came down with another horse, jockey Terry Mosley's mount Miss Cattle Creek, and to add to the great sadness, only a few days out from Christmas, her three children were on course watching the race.
Yeah, they were, and two older children, an 18 and a 17-year-old, and then a much younger child as well. So two of the three were there. And there's going to need to be, and I know New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing, our equivalent in New Zealand, the New Zealand Jockeys Association, are making sure that there is going to be strong and ongoing support for those children. And obviously, particularly all of them, but especially the younger one, which is, you know, there's going to need to be a lot of support, and there will be. I've been speaking to my counterpart there, Dave Taylor, who's been a great rock for that family since the incident on Sunday, and also to Tim Aldridge, who's a senior exec at New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing. And we've been able to, you know, share a critical incident response plan that is developed here. We've also been through a not too dissimilar situation with Simone Montgomery in Darwin back in 2013, who left behind the most beautiful five-year-old in Coda Montgomery. And they're aware of the support that's available from here, if we can be of any support to them at all. And riders here tomorrow in Australia will wear a black armband as a gesture of respect for their colleague in New Zealand. And it'll be a tough Christmas, that's for sure, for a lot of people in the New Zealand racing industry.
It goes without saying that the sport is inherently dangerous, and jockeys, female and male, very brave sports people there. Of course, we know with weight restrictions, generally light individuals on 500 kilo thoroughbred racehorses that get around on spindly legs in tight fields, and mishaps, accidents can happen. A horse can clip another horse's heels. But we should point out that in recent years, there have been major steps and major changes to the way racing is conducted that has made it eminently more safe sport than it was previously.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mark. It's an inherently dangerous profession. There's no doubt about that. And the people who do it understand and accept the risk factor involved. There's been great safety improvements with regards to plastic running rails and breakaway uprights, which have replaced steel and aluminium, and they've been a massive improvement. Safety vests, helmets, the race day medical attention, I know from first hand where I'm based here in Victoria, it basically mirrors an emergency room in a hospital, emergency ward in a hospital, and all of those things are in place, but there are tragic occasions like occurred on Sunday where no matter what's in place, the outcome is just going to be the worst possible case. And thankfully, it's rare, but unfortunately it does happen. And it's just, you can't say it's one of those things that sounds pretty trite comment to say, but it is just a fact of what happens and what the risk is. And I think when it does happen, it's critical that we've got a really good support structure in place and a really good response to support the family, but not just the family, but other riders, of course, race day officials, barrier attendants, vets, starters, stewards, and even race goers, although this incident occurred, at the 800 metre mark. So I think we learned a lot from the tragedy that was Simone Montgomery at Darwin Cup Day, where the focus of Australian racing was on that day, and we've been able to put together a critical response protocol that is very strong and effective. It's really helpful, and we're able to provide that, and hopefully it's been of some little support to the officials over there.
Tragically, towards the end of 2014, when jockey Desiree Gill died in a race fall, it brought to a 14-month period, the number of four women who had passed away in Australasian racing in race falls. Carly May, Desiree Gill, Caitlin Forrest.
Yep.
It was Carly May Pye. Caitlin Forrest, Simone Montgomery, and Desiree Gill during that period. Not during that period, but maybe around that time. I think there was also
2013 onwards.
Yeah, yes. There was a French jockey, a girl doing
Frederica Rule. She lost her life in a track work accident at Caulfield.
Yeah, very sad.
And an English girl, beautiful English girl, Liz Rice, who also lost her life in a track work incident. She was riding the horse, but not on the track.
Yep.
It's interesting, Mark, since 2000, there have been a total of 19 riders, including Liz and Frederica, who weren't jockeys, but obviously were riders. There've been a total of 19 riders, and of those 19, nine have been female. So, but the last, unfortunately, the last, or tragically, the last one, two, five, or six, have been female. And if you look at the bigger picture from 2000, does that tell you anything that there's a heavy, massive female involvement in our industry? But does it draw to any other conclusions? I don't know that, and I'm probably not speculating on it because I don't know. But it's certainly appearing that over the period of time there's a mix of gender, mix of male and female, but just extraordinarily the last five or six disasters we've had have been female riders.
And there have been serious injuries. Talia Rodder's career was cut short in a track work accident. Denise Tagg suffered life-threatening injuries, but thankfully overcame them. They were both track work injuries, one in Wyong, one I think at Caulfield even. But there's been an old saying, and I remember Paddy Payne, the patriarch of the Payne family, Michelle's father, quoting the old horseman's saying that the male jockeys, jockeys fall like eggs, but the boys seem to be able to withstand it, and they fall like boiled eggs, and sadly the girls drop like uncooked raw eggs. And whilst it's a pretty rough-hewn way of describing the way a jockey handles a fall, I wonder if there's any truth to it. And if so, there's not much that can be done other than, again, continued safety with the vests and helmets and, as you say, plastic running rails, and then believing that just hopefully there's somebody sitting on our shoulder, an angel, helping us through what is, as you said, a very dangerous profession.
Yeah, and I do remember Paddy Payne saying that, and no one would have... Paddy commands enormous respect. I mean, I think of the 10 kids, 8 rode, so he must have been involved in hundreds of thousands or thousands and thousands of races, watching them, and I respect so much what he would say. But I think you're right, Mark, in that what can be done is simply to, you know, see should there be a different vest? Would that have helped in these incidents? You know, helmet, there's been an enormous amount of work done on improving the helmet. There was a helmet put out just recently that was hopefully going to be the, you know, another level. There have been some issues with it, but, you know, the theory behind it is to try and make it as safe as possible. And I would say, I think at this stage, a safety review committee that should be a focus of it. And if there is something to it, see what can be done to improve it. If there is nothing, if an expert panel find there is nothing to it, nothing as far as what could be done differently, well then, okay, well, we just make it as safe as we possibly can and, you know, provide the supports we can when things do go wrong.
And the one thing I would say in closing, Des O'Keefe, the General Manager of the Australian Jockeys Association, has graciously given us time this morning in the wake of another tragic story from the world of Australasian racing, the passing of Rebecca Black on the weekend. And by the way, through all of this, we don't forget the individual and her family, and our thoughts continue to go out and to her family, her friends and her racing colleagues, both New Zealand and here in Australia. And people, you know, if you do have a bet on the weekend, you'll notice that jockeys will be wearing black armbands, and sometimes it bears us to think beyond our hip pocket and give a little bit of thought to the fact that these jockeys are, for our pleasure and for our profit, hopefully, putting themselves in harm's way every time they put their feet in the stirrup. Just, I think one thing that should be mentioned is that the continued vigilance for various reasons, but all for good reasons, in terms of horse welfare and the safety of the actual thoroughbred, is paramount in this discussion, because so often the fall occurs as a result of the horse taking a misstep. And sometimes that misstep is a horse breaking down in a race. Jason Oliver's mount in a mounting yard passed away because of a failing in his horse. So the sturdier the horses, the better horses are presented at the track, the safer it is for jockeys.
It is, Mark, and the industry has a policy now where any horse that's undergone a surgical procedure on a structural relevance is really thoroughly examined, x-rayed and trialled prior to it racing. And those things that weren't in place years ago that are in place now, you would think have to add to the safety of the horses and have to add to the safety of and the well-being of the participants, which is just paramount for us in our sport.
There is one other thing. I'm pretty sure, Des, that there is a fund set up for jockeys and jockeys injured and jockeys' families. And maybe next time our listeners are on course, there's a facility to make donations. It's, as I said, if it's a sport that we all enjoy at various levels, then sparing a diner or two for the jockeys, especially those that have had their lives diminished in some way by the sport, or sadly those lives lost for the families still that remain. I'm pretty sure that there is a fund, and it's a very worthy cause.
There is, Mark. It's the National Jockeys Trust, and I'm heavily involved in it and incredibly proud to be, and I'm aware of the life-changing work it is able to do on behalf of riders who end up in necessitous circumstances through injury as a result of their work. It's a great organisation, a great trust, and I'm really thankful to you for mentioning it today.
Des, thank you for joining us today. Safe passage for everybody who gets on a horse, whether it's in a race or recreationally. It's a great relationship that people have with horses, but one that comes always with the caveat of a sense of danger. So all precautions need to be taken, not just on the race course every time you step into the stirrups and get on a horse, which is such a wonderful thing to do. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Mark.